The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. It is on page 95 of the New Testament in the Korean Bible. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Allow me to read the words of God. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put him out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boat up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Amen. There's a movie that came out in 1988 called Luc Grandbleu, directed by Luc Besson, known for his other movie, Léon. It is a story set in the Mediterranean about a person pushing his limits in freediving. In 1965, two men, a Frenchman, Jacques, and an Italian, Enzo, grew up together in an island of Greece. Jacques' father dived into the sea to collect clams, but passed away by accident. To Jacques, who was left alone, dolphins were his close friends. And with Enzo, who was proud to be an Italian, Jacques became friends, competing to see who would last longer underwater. Enzo claimed that he could go underwater longer than Jacques, but in reality, it was the other way around. Some time passed, and in 1988, Enzo had won the freediving world championship 17 times and became a diver who saved people from sunken ships. Even if he was the world champion, he always had wanted to compete against Jacques, who he wanted to win since his childhood. Jacques had become an underwater scientist, diving at the Water Research Institute of the U.S., located in the colder parts of Peru in South America. Then he had returned to the Mediterranean region of the southern France, Côte d'Azur. Enzo came looking for Jacques and gave him the flight ticket to attend the freediving world championship that will be held in Sicilia of southern Italy in 10 days. Jacques did not want to compete with Enzo. However, Jacques knew that Enzo wanted to reaffirm that he is the best by competing with himself, even though Enzo is already a great driver. So Jacques decided to attend. Jacques dived below 360 feet, which is about 109 meters, which was 3 feet more or 1 meter more than Enzo's record. Enzo thought he could congratulate Jacques for that record. When I was an upperclassman in elementary school and also in middle school, I dived with my friends to collect clams or conch. I remember that my ears hurt due to the water pressure if I went beyond 5 to 6 meters. Female divers in Jeju Island usually dive for about 10 meters to collect sea animals. Then the 14th World Freediving Championship was held in Greece. It was the place they had dreamed of as they competed with each other in childhood. Enzo dived about 380 feet, equivalent to 116 meters, setting his own record. Many participants dived to compete with Enzo's record, but could not. Some divers even fainted. So it seemed like Enzo would become the champion of the world, but Jacques dived 400 feet, which is about 122 meters, going beyond humans' limits, according to experts. Seeing this record, Enzo tried again. Jacques tried to stop Enzo from diving deeper, which could even lead to death, but Enzo said, "You can stop me because you are a champion," and went underwater. Jacques had an eerie feeling and followed Enzo, but ended up pulling dying Enzo from the water. As he died, Enzo said, "You're right to say that I was pushing the limit, but I love going underwater. Push me into the water." The competition between the two ended only when one had died. Enzo and Jacques in the movie depict ourselves living in the current society. Both of them were the best in their own field, free diving and anaerobic diving. Whatever we do, we also want to be the best and try to be the best. The movie also shows how Jacques considers himself as his own competitor, but Enzo always wanted to win against Jacques, who he considered as the rival to overcome. This difference in perception was clearly shown in the last competition. Jacques tried to overcome his own diving record, pushing his own limit. Meanwhile, Enzo couldn't stand that Jacques had set the record of 400 feet, 102 meters, so he tried again to set a new record, which led to his own death. So whichever field it is, sports, arts, or business, the secret to success is to win against yourself in your field. This cannot be emphasized enough. However, if you win against yourself and become the best in your field, will you truly be happy? And will there be true satisfaction from the deepest part of your heart? This movie was made on the basis of the life of Jacques Mayoi, the legendary diver. He succeeded in diving under 100 meters without breathing for the first time in the world and held many world records in free diving. He also interacted with dolphins, as shown in the movie. Most of the movie was based on his testimony. However, he ended his own life. Even if we win against ourselves, we cannot be truly satisfied because our thoughts and values change over time. So when we set our values on permanence, we can be truly satisfied and joyful, thankful for what we have. Jesus was sharing the word of God towards the people who had gathered in Lake Galilee. But as more people gathered, he could not declare the message anymore. So he went on a boat and shared the message on board. It is worthwhile to note that unlike other scriptures, today's scripture does not include any point about how people were surprised by how authoritative Jesus' message was, how full of grace it was, or how people praised him for the message. After completing his message on the Word of God, Jesus went to Simon as if Jesus had been waiting for it. It is as if the camera that had closed into the crowd listening to Jesus blurred out the audience and now had closed into Jesus and Simon. Then Jesus told Simon, who was washing his nets, in verse 4, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Jesus told Simon to put his net into deep water. But where could be the deep water Jesus was referring to, considering that Lake Galilee was 57 times bigger than Yeouido? Also, the average depth of Lake Galilee is 26 meters, and the deepest part is 46 meters. So how deep would be deep waters? Would it be sufficient if it is 10 meters deep? 20 meters deep? If not, would it be sufficient to go beyond 26 meters, the average depth? If that is the threshold, then would 25 meters be considered deep waters or shallow waters? Here, deep waters is not just referring to the depth of waters. As I explained last week, Jesus' disciples who emulated Peter experienced the same phenomenon 3 years later, similar to today's scripture. In John chapter 21, verses 1 through 6, it says, "Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Before going to the cross, Jesus told his disciples, "After I come to life again, I will go to Galilee before you." And also told the ladies at the grave, "Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will meet me." Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, James, and John, sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples, seven in total, went to Galilee from Jerusalem, not because they remembered Jesus telling them to meet in Galilee, but to resume their main job as fishermen. Let me elaborate what happened in this scene. Disciples, who had returned to Galilee as fishermen, tried fishing all night, but could not catch a single fish. Even though they had followed Jesus, it had only been 3 years. Even if their fishing skills had deteriorated and the situation in Lake Galilee had changed, it was an unlikely event. Yet they could not catch a single fish. When they were in despair, Jesus told them to fish on the right side of the boat. They cast their net as so and caught so much fish that they could not haul the net. So where is the right side Jesus was referring to? Is it this side or the other side? Peter and other disciples were fishing all night long, so wouldn't they have had already tried that side Jesus was telling them? The right side that Jesus told them may refer to the right side of the boat that Peter was on. But usually in the Bible, the right side and the right hand refer to the power of God. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." This is the message that most Christians like. The righteous right hand of God will uphold us. Then, does God not have a left hand? Wouldn't it be better if he promises to uphold us with both of his righteous hands? Actually, God is spirit, so he does not have a right hand or a left hand. This verse means, "I will uphold you with all my strength." The Apostles' Creed, which we recite every Sunday, includes, "The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated on at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. Jesus Christ, who sacrificed himself on the cross, resurrected, and ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God. Then where is the right hand of God? Is it this side or the other side? What happens if Father God turns around and sits? The right hand of God does not just refer to the position, but rather that the Holy Son and the Father God are equal in presence and power. So while Jesus first came as the Savior God, he will return as the judge of the living and the dead. So Isaiah includes the scripture, "The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his mighty arm." So Jesus told Peter, "Throw your net on the right," to mean, "Peter, didn't you throw your net based on your experience and power last night? What did you gain? Nothing, right?" When you throw a net with your strength in your life, what did you gain? Wasn't it an empty net? From now on, please do not trust yourself. Trust me. So when Jesus told Simon to fish in deep waters in today's scripture, deep does not merely refer to the depths of the water. Simon replied to Jesus' comment. Verse 5. Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the net." Simon replied in two ways. First, "Master, we tried really hard all night, but didn't catch anything." It means that they had fished, relying on their power, where they thought was deep was actually not deep. People can try their hardest in the deepest waters possible, but it cannot be the deep waters Jesus is referring to. Absalom wanted to take his father's place, King David's place, and planned for years and committed treason. David ran away through the path of the olive mountain, hiding his face with his hair down, crying as he climbed up without any shoes. Someone came and told him that Ahithophel was among those who committed treason with Absalom. Then David prayed immediately, "Father God, please lead Ahithophel's strategy to fail." David was more fearful that Ahithophel was among them than the fact that his son Absalom had committed treason. 2 Samuel chapter 16 verse 23 testifies how great was the strategy of Ahithophel. "Now in those days, the advice Ahithophel gave was like that of one who inquires of God, That was how both David and Absalom regarded all of Ahithophel's advice. The words coming out of Ahithophel's mouth was like the Bible to David, Absalom, and other people. This shows that he was a stellar schemer. To Absalom, Ahithophel offered an efficient and focused strategy to catch King David. But suddenly, Absalom said that he wants to hear from Hushai as well. Hushai was David's person who had remained in the Jerusalem palace. Contrary to Ahithophel, Hushai said that they need to fight with David's army and need to buy some time to do so. This strategy actually bought time for King David. However, Absalom and Israelites chose Hushai's strategy over Ahithophel's. The reason for this is explained in 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 14. For the Lord had determined to frustrate the good advice of Ahithophel in order to bring disaster on Absalom. The mysterious hand of God was at work. So Ahithophel did not see his strategy come to life, went back home, and ended his own life. Since people regarded the thoughts of Ahithophel to be equivalent to the Word of God, the depth of his intelligence and insights were probably beyond comparison. And yet, no matter how deep his thoughts were, when God did not take his hand, the depth didn't matter anymore. Such depth also could not protect himself. If we think our talent, wealth, and status will take us to somewhere deep, then it is not a proper thought. We finite humans do not have such power. Second, Simon replied, but I will rely on the word to cast the net. This reply is more important than the confession that they could not catch anything, though they had tried all night. Deepest waters of our lives are not chosen by us. It is chosen by the Lord, so where the Lord tells us is the deep waters. Sometimes the deep waters that the Lord tells us may not seem so deep. However, as we walk along our life path, we cannot help but agree that where the Lord tells us is the deep waters. After Exodus, Israelites spent 40 years in the wilderness and finally entered the land of Canaan. The first place they came across was Jericho. God wanted the city to fall down. However, the strategy God had in mind was to go around the city for 1 week. They went around 6 days with the ark in front, marching with trumpets, and on the seventh day circled it 7 times. Even though it was impossible that the wall would fall down using such strategy, Israelites trusted the word of God and circled the wall. Then the wall fell down, because the word of God had led them to the deep waters. Saul went after people who followed Jesus Christ and his disciples without hesitation. He went to suddenly raid a Christian community in Damascus, the current capital of Syria, with an official document from the high priest to arrest them and bring them to Jerusalem. Then, resurrected Jesus came to Saul, and he was blinded and led to Damascus by another person and was at the house of Judah. At the time, the Lord appeared to a disciple named Ananias and told him, "Go to the house of Judah on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. Place your hands on him to restore his sight." At that moment, Ananias had heard what kind of life Saul had lived from other people, so he was hesitant to go. Then the Lord said, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel." To Ananias, the deepest waters was to go to Saul and pray for him so that his eyes would be open, because that was what the Lord had told him to do. Ananias may have done something small, restoring the sight of a person who was on the opposite side of the Lord. Yet through the person he had prayed to restore the vision, Paul, the Lord allowed 13 books out of 20 books, two books of the New Testament, excluding the Gospels and the Book of Acts, to be written, and the foundation of the early church was established. To Simon, who had fished all night but was empty-handed, Jesus told him, "Go to deep waters and cast your net to fish." To Jesus' message, Simon replied, "Master, we tried all night, but we didn't catch anything. But we will rely on the word, and I will cast the net." Then where is the deep waters of our lives? And it is the place where we are, without relying on our thoughts, experience, or ability, and rather only relying on the word. It is not possible to go to the deep waters without the word of God. Jesus was baptized at the Jordan and began his public ministry by fasting for 40 days in the wilderness. When Jesus was done with fasting, the devil told Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." Then Jesus replied, "Men shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God." The important part of Jesus' response is every word that comes from the mouth of God. It is not the verse I like, nor the verse that comforts me or encourages me. It is not the word that I have underlined in the Bible. It is not the word that will help me to accomplish or lift me up. It is every word. As we read the word regularly and reflect on it, the word catches us by surprise. The word that we did not know even existed, the word we were avoiding, and the word that leads us to the Lord touches our hearts and lives. When we obey such word, we are led to the deep waters of our lives. Today is Passion Sunday, during which we commemorate the suffering of Jesus Christ, who died for us on the cross to give us eternal life. Jesus told Simon, "Go to the deep waters and cast your net to fish." Deep waters in Greek is bathos, which not only means deepest, but also mystery and fathomless. Apostle Paul testified the following in Romans chapter 11, verse 33. "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgment and his path beyond tracing out." The depth is bathos. How can we know the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God? God granted us the mysterious and fathomless grace through Jesus dying on the cross to redeem us for eternity. Those who lift up their eyes to God, the source of eternal life, will experience the mysterious hand of God every day and remain in the fathomless grace of God. Beloved church members, may we not be fooled by the deep waters of the secular values or the waves of the world. No matter how fancy it may seem, no matter how attractive and wealthy it seems, it is not the deep waters. Also, may we not be fearful to go towards the deep waters where the Word of God is. There we can find eternal life, mysterious works, and fathomless grace of God. The Lord who shed the blood of redemption for us at the cross is speaking to each one of us today. Put out into deep water and let down the net for a catch. Let us pray. Thank you for helping us to realize that while free divers are recognized for going deep underwater, if we go deep based on our thoughts, secular values, or waves of the world, then it is not where the Lord is telling us to go. Simon and his people figured out by themselves to find the deep waters and cast their nets. But they could not fish anything and came empty-handed with an empty net and empty boat. We hope that as we lift up our eyes to God, we are able to cast our nets and fish where you tell us to be. So may we experience the grace of the deep waters of God every day. Thank you for granting us this Passion Sunday. How could we fathom the amazing grace of God who allowed the Lord to shed the blood of redemption to give us eternal life. As we live each day, may we cast our nets in places where the Word of God is, so that God can work in our lives. And as we obey, may more people experience the deep waters of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.